from the heart of America, the nation's number one liberal voice, where truth and common sense rule. This is the Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk. And now, Ed Schultz.
Nah, don't get too excited. Ed is on assignment today. Instead, you got me, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. I'm your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, broadcasting live today from Los Angeles, from Hollywood, from the beautiful studios of KPFK Radio, powered by the people. Glad you could join us for the Ed Schultz Show today as we move forward into hour number two. If you're on the phone, by the way, we're gonna speak with Marcy Wheeler in just a moment. But if you're on the phone, hang on. I want to hear from you after I talk to Marcy. We're going to have the whole hour for your calls. 877-WE-GOT-ED, 877-934-6833. And as you've already seen, people who disagree with me, we like to put them to the front of the line. Why? Because we believe in democracy. The Guardian is reporting today that the Taliban rebels agree to peace talks with the U.S. as control switches from of the nation's Afghanistan nation's defense switches today from U.S. to the Afghanistan military. And now we're going to be talking to the Taliban. So there you go. That was totally worth it. Also, 30 years ago today, Sally Ride became the first U.S. woman in space. Is that right? She died in 2012. She died. She came out, she was revealed as a lesbian posthumously. Sadly, when she went into space 30 years ago today, she didn't feel that she could tell the world that. That's too bad. All right, there are House Intelligence Committee hearings going on at this hour, and you can't see it on the radio, but I put air quotes around the word intelligence, because that committee features, among other stellar minds of the U.S. House, one Michelle Bachmann. So, you know, when they say there's no, when they say there's oversight of these programs, you don't have to worry. Michelle Bachmann is on top of it. Nothing to worry about. She'll let us know if there's any concerns. Oh, brother. Marcy Wheeler, otherwise known as Empty Wheel from EmptyWheel.net. She covers legal issues around national security and presidential politics. She has been doing so for years. She is the source for so much of it. She has an encyclopedic knowledge of this entire national security surveillance state going back to the days when I first came to know her while she was covering what had really gone on in the Valerie Plame outing, the disclosure of that covert operative by the Bush administration, for which no one ever served a day in jail. I wonder if Bradley Manning is mentioning that at his hearing. I wonder if Edward Snowden will remind us of that if and when he gets caught and brought on trial for these disclosures that he's brought forward that has spurred a national conversation and has already made changes in our government, and that national conversation that Barack Obama himself has applauded and has said is long overdue. Well, now we are having it. And let's have it for a few minutes here with Marcy Wheeler from EmptyWheel.net, who is monitoring those House Intelligence hearings today for us. Marcy, welcome to the Ed Schultz Show.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Thank you for being had. Now, here's my question. Here's my question for you. General Alexander said this morning in, let me play this again, it's a shortcut, number six. Here's what he had to say about these programs that Ed Snowden has helped disclose.
These programs, together with other intelligence, have protected the U.S. and our allies from terrorist threats across the globe, to include helping prevent the potential terrorist events over 50 times since 9/11.
There you go, Marcy. Everything's okay because these programs have helped us over 50 times since 9/11. So why is it that you, Marcy Wheeler, want to help the terrorists and continue reporting on these programs?
Well, let's put those numbers in perspective. Of those 50 plots, purported plots, There have been at least 400 wrapped up in the United States, I think actually just in the last 4 or 5 years. And he's talking about international. So there has been less than 1 in 8 spots that have been helped by, this is the, what's called sections, which is the ability to go get signals directly, directly in a kind of legal sense from the supplier. Mm-hmm. So right there, that's just 1 out of 8 cases where it has helped, probably far, far less. And then the dragnet collection, which is the government gets the phone records from all Americans, keeps them in file for 5 years, and then sometimes goes in to check to see if known terrorist numbers are talking to people in the United States. That program, for which they've collected the phone records of all Americans claiming they are relevant to a terrorist investigation, has only helped to thwart 10 spots.
Well, that's
critical too. Just been involved in thwarting 10 spots, and as the witnesses specified to Adam Schiff today, they have other means of getting that information. So they've basically taken an entire nuclear arsenal to go after 10 spots that they could use, they could go after another means.
And so they were instrumental in those plots, but they were not absolutely necessary. They could have gotten at those plots other ways, is what you're contending, correct?
So they're saying two things. One is they were not necessarily the most critical piece of intelligence in those plots. So first of all, it's not like if they didn't have those, they wouldn't have supported the plot. But secondly, and this came via a different questioning period. They have other means to get it. They can they can get that same exact information by, when they get a terrorist phone number, going to the telecoms, the same ones they're going to and collecting all the information and saying, "Hi, do you have any information about this one particular phone number?" So a very limited means, a very controlled means. By doing that, the telecoms are involved, and they're going to ask for paperwork. They're going to ask you to prove your case. They have that means to go get the same exact information that instead they are collecting all of our phone information, claiming all of our phone information is relevant to a terrorist investigation.
And that is, of course, if you believe them, that it has been used 50 different times since 9/11. It may or may not have been. They've come out. They've sent a lot of things. James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence, had said that no, this was just weeks ago, I think, he said, no, we are not collecting phone records for millions of Americans. He blatantly lied to Congress about that. And then, you know, in plots, when they pointed to them specifically, like the Zazi plot, they said, oh, these programs were instrumental in that. But we find out that, in fact, they weren't instrumental, that the email address that this guy Zazi was using had come out, I guess, was it a British court case, had come out. So they had that information. They could have taken that email and gone specifically to only the stuff they need, rather than having this dragnet where they bring in millions and millions of email records and everything else from people, right?
Right, exactly. And they part of the entire point of having this hearing was to reveal two more plots that supposedly were thwarted with these. One appears to have happened under Dick Cheney's illegal program, although that's the initial read on that, meaning the plot started in 2004, so this goes way back. The other one, they found just 4 guys in San Diego who were materially supporting al-Shabaab in Somalia. So they weren't even actually involved in a terrorist plot. They were sending money. And those are the 4 cases that they point to. Now, they say there are, you know, upwards of 50 more that they have similar levels of evidence for. But the problem is all 4 of these cases have some problem or kind of, you know, they're not... They keep offering these cases as justification to these programs, and even these cases are pretty unexciting or have big problems to them.
The president has come out and he has said over the last few days that nobody is listening to your phone calls. He says that these programs have been misrepresented. They're only getting metadata records of things like phone calls and emails and so forth. They're not actually listening to phone calls. He also had this to say, cut number 9 here. This was him last night, I believe, with Charlie Rose on CBS.
It is transparent. That's why we set up the FISA court. Some people say, well, you know, Obama was this raving liberal before. Now he's, you know, Dick Cheney. Cheney sometimes says, yeah, you know, he took it all lock, stock, and barrel. My concern has always been, not that we shouldn't do intelligence gathering to prevent terrorism, but rather, are we setting up a systems of checks and balances?
So, a system of checks and balances, a transparent process in the FISA court. Nobody is listening to your phone calls. Marcy, does that make you feel any better about these disclosures now that the president is coming out and putting Americans' worst fears to rest here?
One thing we learned is that the reporting, you know, the so-called three branches of reporting that everyone is touting here, and the involvement in particular of the FISA court, still all goes to the executive branch. So it is true, or at least it was claimed at this hearing, that the FISA court gets details about how many times this dragnet database of American calls is actually accessed. But they only get it in aggregate, and they only get the reporting through the executive branch. So, in other words, in Adam Schiff, again, I mean, if you want to see the hearing, all you got to do is just watch Adam Schiff, watch General Alexander's watch the introductions in general, because they are more informative than we've gotten in, you know, 11 years of this spying. But Adam Schiff, by far, asked that question, and he said, well, you know, don't you think maybe you ought to have the FISA court do the auditing on those reports rather than the executive branch? And that's when people started getting uncomfortable, because that would be real oversight. And right now we're still relying on the executive branch checking the executive branch.
And on top of that, you've got the FISA court, you know, who releases their findings in secret. But what people don't understand is it's not an adversarial court system. It's not like a regular court system where somebody presents evidence and somebody opposes that evidence and then a judge decides. There is nobody presenting the other side of this case. The executive branch comes in, makes its case, and at least in, I think it was 1,700 cases in 2012, the FISA court has approved the request by the executive branch. There's been nobody there to fight against it. They've approved it. It's been a rubber stamp in almost 1,800 cases in the last year alone, with no denials. Very quick before we go here, Marcy, anything else coming out in today's hearings? Did Michelle Bachmann show up and say anything stupid?
Michelle Bachmann, Tea Partier, showed up and said, we need more of this surveillance, and Edward Snowden is a traitor. So I guess now that she's not going to run again, she doesn't care about the purported Tea Party claim supporting Fourth Amendment rights. No, I mean, I think that the big takeaway from the hearing is we've learned more details that we should have learned years ago. That's something Jen Schakowsky pointed out. There are still holes in the oversight, and the Dragnet program in particular really doesn't seem to have a justifiable case.
And what do you say to Democrats and people who are supposed to be progressives who say that, you know, Snowden is a villain, we shouldn't be talking about these programs, it harms our national security, you know, and Democrats should not be speaking about this at all? What's your response in 30 seconds?
We've gotten the oversight. We've gotten more transparency in the last week and a half than we have in 11 years, and we're identifying holes that need to be plugged. A couple of the witnesses today said, well, Congress really should decide what the limits of this dragnet surveillance are, and yet Congress hasn't known until 10 days ago exactly what the dragnet surveillance included. So how did they expect Congress to do that?
Even the Congress, who was supposed to be the oversight here, had no idea what was going on. Marcy Wheeler, thanks for all your work here. EmptyWheel.net, check her out. Get into the weeds on this and understand just what it is that people are talking about when they say that, it stopped a plot. Well, no, it really didn't. She's the source. She's the one who knows. And like I say, an institutional memory that goes back the last 15 years like you would not believe. Marcy Wheeler, EmptyWheel.net. Find her on the Twitters, @EmptyWheel. Thanks, Marcy. Always great talking to you.
Thanks so much, Brad.
You bet. All right, when we come back, more of your calls. 877-WE-GOT-ED. As a matter of fact, the rest of this hour, 877-WE-GOT-ED. Your calls. I want to hear from you. 877-934-6833. You can also tweet me at the Brad blog and the show here at We Got Ed. I'm Brad Friedman in for Ed Schultz on the Ed Schultz Radio Show, where America comes to talk.
Tell Ed what you think. In 140 characters or less, follow Ed on Twitter at We Got Ed.
Welcome back. This is the Ed Schultz Radio Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Ed. Taking your calls the rest of this hour, 877-WE-GOT-ED. That's 877-934-6833. Let's go to John in Milwaukee. John, welcome to the Ed Schultz Show, sir.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I think the question that Ed Snowden asked a couple months ago was, do I serve my country or do I serve the U.S. government? And at that point, I think he looked at past whistleblowers and said the usual channels aren't going to work. I have to go to a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he settled on Greg Greenwald for two reasons. One, he's foreign. He's not U.S., so unfortunately Declan McLeod and Marcy Wheeler would be out. And then also...
Well, actually, let me be clear there. Glenn Greenwald is very much an American. He lives in Brazil, but he's American, and he works at The Guardian,
He works for a foreign media outlet.
Sort of. It's sort of the U.S. branch of that foreign media, but okay, I take your point.
Yeah, but also I think it's because Glenn Greenwald has been a sharp critic for 10 years. Under both administrations. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are. Do you think that Ed Snowden in some ways is Mr. Greenwald's reward for the fidelity on this topic? I mean, who else is he going to go to? But he's been a faithful critic of the surveillance state.
His reward, you don't mean his reward, conspiracy. His reward that he saw, that Ed Snowden saw what Glenn Greenwald was writing, and so he went to Glenn Greenwald because he thought he could get a sympathetic ear.
His karmic reward. How's that?
There you go. I agree. It is. And good to hear from you, John. Thanks for the call. It is his karmic reward. Listen, I have been talking to whistleblowers, interviewing whistleblowers, hearing from whistleblowers, you know, over the past 10 years since I've been at BradBlog.com. They often show up to folks like me, like Glenn, because they read our work. They see that, you know, we take their concerns seriously, that we investigate them, that we look into them, that we don't dismiss them as so many in the media do. It's been remarkable seeing, the villainization of Edward Snowden by the mainstream media, by the mainstream press. Who are you guys working for, mainstream media? You know, are you working for we, the people? You get dispensation in the Constitution for what you do. You're the only industry that does. Start living up to it. Brad, in for Ed.
Edward Snowden is a hero to many people.
He's a punk. You know, like I said, he's a loser.
This man is an American hero.
Hell no, he's not a hero.
He's done a great service.
Took an act of bravery. Incredibly brave and courageous.
He's a traitor.
I think he's either a defector or a traitor.
Look at that guy. The guy's a weasel. Can we not put his face up on the screen?
Are we allowed to say that?
He looks like a weasel.
Okay.
We should just...
I guess I understand the impulse to pass judgment on Edward Snowden. It's easier to have an opinion on a person rather than on an extremely complicated issue. What is the bottom line on Edward Snowden? Heroic truth teller or weaselly traitor?
Well, did Snowden snitch on you?
No.
Okay, then he's a whistleblower.
Okay, that's...
There you go. Welcome back to the Ed Schultz Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Ed. You're going to go to your calls here in a moment. 877-WE-GOT-ED. Give us a shout. We're going to go to John in Washington and Bob in Nevada, so hang on the line there. One South, I want to just get this in real quick because this is amazing. One South Florida man accused in a series of bank robbery attempts is hoping the recent revelation that the federal government is secretly keeping millions of U.S. phone records could help his defense. Terrence Brown, 40, is one of five men on trial in federal court in Fort Lauderdale on charges they conspired to hold up armed trucks, making cash deliveries to banks in Miramar and Lighthouse Point in 2010. They have all pleaded not guilty. Another man, alleged co-conspirator Nathaniel Moss, is serving life in federal prison after admitting he shot and killed Brinks truck guard Alejandro Arancibia during the final heist in 2010 outside the Bank of America branch at 7950 Miramar Parkway. The FBI and federal prosecutors are using cell phone records in court to try to prove that the five accused men were all nearby when the robbery attempts and planning occurred, as Moss, who is cooperating with the U.S. Attorney's Office, has testified. But the prosecution has told defense attorneys that they were unable to obtain Brown's cell phone records from the period before September 2010 because his carrier, Metro PCS, had not held on to them. Not so fast, Brown's attorney argued in courtroom documents filed in Fort Lauderdale days after the NSA surveillance program was revealed last week. The attorney argues in court that the government should be forced to turn over phone location records for two cell phones Brown may have used because it could prove he was not present for one of the attempted bank robberies on July 26th. U.S. District Judge has agreed to give prosecutors an extra week or two to respond to this motion. Quote, there are security procedures that must be followed, said the assistant U.S. attorney of the special protocols that DOJ follows when dealing with information, usually to identify possible terrorist activities that may have been secretly obtained under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So, the law enforcement gets to use these records. Do the accused criminals get access to these same records? We could be opening up a whole new can of worms on this very interesting case going. So we're gonna follow that case and see what comes of it. Let me go to John in Ferndale, Washington. Hey, John, welcome to the Ed Schultz Show, sir.
Hey, Brad. While I was on hold, I was wondering. I wonder if Brad does a podcast. And I found the Bradcast.
There you go.
I'm going to be checking that out. I don't like all the backlash that I hear against Glenn Greenwald, who I think is a fine reporter, and I've seen his stuff before, and I always thought, oh, well, what a wonderful reporter. And now all of a sudden he's a traitor too.
Right.
You know, I don't care who is on my side, on our side, right? And when I say, like, sides, there are two sides to this issue of the NSA, Fourth Amendment, stuff. And that is the other side, and there's the Constitution side. And
okay.
I will accept James Sensenbrenner, Louis Gohmert, Al Gore, because I'm a Democrat, so he was already on my side anyway. But, I mean, let us not miss this opportunity, America. All those crazy gun owners over there who I disagree with, well, you know what? Now we agree on this. So let's get together on this and, try to get something moving to get, like you say, oversight on this issue. This is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And I don't care if somebody says, oh, well, I don't have anything to hide, so they can go look at my phone records. Well, you know what? That's not the way the Constitution was written.
No.
It doesn't matter if you think you have nothing to hide. If you may not want the government, say, looking at the kind of porn sites you go to.
Well,
what if a terrorist accidentally calls your number?
That's right, John. And the NSA knows that you are calling from your mistress's house up there in Ferndale, John. So we all know that. We're going to publish that. Listen, those people who say, I've got nothing to hide, Glenn Greenwald has had a very good response, and I share that response. You got nothing to hide? Really? Okay. What's your email password? Send it over.
Yeah.
You got nothing to hide. Why should Lindsey Graham care if we have his email password? He's got nothing to hide. So, you know, yeah, it's a specious argument. You know, it's not about whether we have something to hide or not. Also, you know, the one thing that all of these critics don't seem to get, because I'm hearing a lot of them from the Democratic side, frankly, which really disappoints me and in one sense really surprises me, because they sound exactly like the defenders of George W. Bush during the Bush administration. They're using the same words that, you know, oh, if the president didn't do this and there was a terrorist attack, you would hold him accountable. And, you know, we can't have these leakers, these whistleblowers. They're endangering our national security. And these programs have stopped terrorist attacks. Never mind that we have no evidence of that. But, you know, the president says so, so we believe him. That was exactly what George W. Bush said, and Democrats and progressives did not accept it then, but they're willing to accept it now. And maybe that's because, you know, they trust Barack Obama. And, you know, maybe he's a fine fellow. That's beside the point. Any power that you give right now to Barack Obama will also be shared by President Palin, by President Bachman, by President Santorum, by President Rubio, by President Cruz. If you're okay with all of those people having this kind of power, then sure, no problem. You know, go ahead and give that kind of power to the president because you trust him, just so long as you're going to trust President Cheney. You know, and I'll also mention one other point here, John, since we were talking about Glenn Greenwald. And I mentioned this the other day when I was on with Ed. I was a guest on the show last week. You know, I was a target of these programs, of the misuse of these programs, as was Glenn Greenwald. Both Glenn and myself were targeted in a plot by three defense contractors who I'd like to help make more famous than they already are. Their names are H.B. Gary, Palantir, and Barrico. And these are three defense contractors who make millions and millions of dollars from the government, taxpayer dollars, developing tools that are used in this so-called war on terror. They took those tools and they put them together in a plot to target me and to target Glenn Greenwald. In my case, they were targeting me on behalf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who was willing to pay them millions of dollars to use these tools that were made to track terrorists, to instead track me, a private citizen, a journalist, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the largest lobbying organization in the world, was using these tools, was willing to pay the money to these defense contractors to spy on me. And it's not a conspiracy, a theory. It's a conspiracy fact, frankly, because we have the documents to prove it. With my picture in these documents, you know, my name, my family's name, our addresses, birth dates, personal information, that was used in a plot that was thankfully stopped because Anonymous, the hacker group, the hacker collective, hacked into these security contractors, found these documents, released them publicly, and we learned about this plot that was being put together by the U.S. Chamber against me, and a very similar plot, a cyber plot, put together on behalf of Bank of America by those same three people to get at Glenn Greenwald, because as a journalist, he had the temerity to report on WikiLeaks. These are not conspiracy theories. These are very real concerns. These are very real problems when you start getting this massive surveillance state and a surveillance state that is run by private contractors. These things are real. One other point I want to make, John. You know, there was a caller earlier who was complaining about Snowden going to Hong Kong and suggesting he was giving documents to Communist China or some such. Listen. One of the disclosures last week that didn't get a lot of attention was the third one from Glenn Greenwald, and it was a presidential directive discussing cybersecurity, cyber defenses, offensive cyber attacks, a presidential directive for cyber offensive attacks and defensive attacks. If you look at that document, if you look at that directive, it must say every other paragraph It says, this program and anything that is done here must comply with the law, must comply with the Constitution, must comply with international laws and norms. I think that document, that directive, makes our country look great in truth. And, you know, we're out there saying, China is hacking into all kinds of targets of ours. We're trying to get them to stop doing that. This doesn't hurt that effort. I would argue this helps that effort because it shows how far out of its way the U.S. government, President Obama, is trying to go, at least according to this document, to follow the law and to follow the international law. So, you know, all of this classification now that we have in this country, I don't believe this that this helps us. A lot of this stuff, if it was made public, would help the world see that maybe we are following the law and would help this country see where we aren't following the law and the Constitution, if that's the case. Open it up. Open the books. Go ahead, John.
Can I make one more quick point?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Sure. The we know now from reports that these private contractors, like you're saying, not only are they going after people and spying on them who were in the Occupy movement, but they're also going after gun owners and right-wing, Tea Party folks. So, you know what? Let's band together. I'm willing to stand on the side of anybody who is willing to stand on the side of the Constitution.
Thank you, brother.
Without it, we're lost.
Thank you, brother. I'm with you. I got to run. I got to get to a break. Appreciate your calls. 877, we got Ed. Love to hear from more of you. 877-934-6833. Brad Friedman in for Ed Schultz, where America comes to talk.
Watch it live or set your DVR. The Ed Show is back. Weekends at 5 Eastern on MSNBC.
9.
Welcome back to the Ed Schultz Radio Show. Brad Friedman in for Ed this afternoon. Let's go to Scott in Albuquerque. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brad, beautiful day. I called in with two rhetorical questions to get your help, but I've got a comment first back to John in Buffalo regarding Snowden's taking refuge in China. You know, after the United States accused China of espionage on us and our government, China government doesn't have to do anything, and taking refuge over there is absolutely brilliant. They can keep their hands off. Snowden's got safe refuge. They, just because of the political chess game, the political opera going on. However, I am worried that if Chinese organized crime gets their hand on this guy, slips some codeine in his beard, gives him a shot of scopolamine, what they learn could harm us, and Chinese government would still be hands-off, but it could still hurt us. So that's not the greatest. But if I may continue with my two rhetorical questions. First,
make them quick, because I got to get to another break, so make them quick.
I wonder if we can figure out how much these companies are getting paid, like the telephone companies do, for data from a war, so we can figure whether or not this is a new profit-making enterprise within their company. Maybe they're making more money in the cloud companies than they are off of your subscription. And second, does the Patriot Act include a provision to safeguard our companies? And so the new data mining expansion is actually related to safeguarding corporations, and they're monitoring all comments about GM and Ford and Apple, et cetera, trying to prevent. Okay, that's it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate that call. Yeah, listen, this is we wrote an article. My legal analyst, Ernest Canning at bradblog.com, wrote an article a few days ago asking what is the real target of this surveillance state. Is it terrorism or is it democracy? Right now, these private contractors, and Daniel Ellsberg told me last week that that private contractors now comprise 70% of the surveillance state. These private contractors now have a profit motive in keeping the fear going. And so, you know, are we ever going to end this surveillance state? Not when we have these huge companies who now rely on the U.S. government to stay afloat. If you shut this thing down, those companies go out of business. And these Republicans pretend they care about conservatism. They pretend they care about the government picking winners and losers. No, they don't. They just want to make sure that the government picks the winners that are friends of theirs. That's what so much, too much of this is about. Let's take a quick break. Come back to more of your calls. 877-WE-GOT-ED. And then next hour, we're going to be joined by David Dayen. Turn the page here for a minute to talk about a new mortgage scam. Also, Desi Doyen with some green news. All of that straight ahead right here on The Ed Schultz Show.
Working hard for the middle class. This is The Ed Schultz Show.
9.
We got Ed. This is the Ed Schultz Show. It's 4 minutes before the hour. Let me think here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's what, Kirk Wiebe, one of the NSA, Bush-era NSA whistleblowers in this conversation from USA Today that was posted over the weekend. Go to bradblog.com. You can check it out. He says the other piece of this was we weren't just trying to talk about privacy. The way the government was going about deriving intelligence from digital data flows, there seemed to be more of a desire to contract out and cause a money flow than there was to actually perform the mission. Yes, private contractors making money, taxpayer money. How much of this is a scam? Very quickly, let me see if I can get in a call. Brent in Madison. Welcome, sir, to the Ed Schultz Show. I'm Brad. What's up?
Yeah, thanks. I agree with pretty much everything you've said. Plus, another important whistleblower is John Perkins' Tales of an Economic Hitman, showing how IMF World Bank threats blackmail against him and people so they would privatize the resources, and they would call out the jackals, as he would call them, and the direct threats, much like you or other reporters or liberal professors would be targeted by certain totalitarian regimes. I mean, you know, these institutions, like you say, are privatized now, and there's a lot of money at stake, and, you know, I understand people will sell their souls for money, but Tales of Economic Hitman really shows some deep, dark surveillance, and, you know, he realized he had to speak out after 10 or 15 years of waiting and waiting, so anyhow.
You're right. Thanks. You're absolutely right, Brent. I appreciate that call. Yeah, whistleblowers. Listen, whistleblowers are important. Go read that article that we've got linked, that roundtable conversation between four different Bush-era whistleblowers, three NSA whistleblowers, one of them Thomas Drake, who I may we're trying to get him on the show tomorrow on my own show out here at KPFK, the Bradcast. So three NSA executive whistleblowers and one from the Bush-era DOJ. Yeah, I support whistleblowing. You know who else does or used to? Barack Obama. As he was running for president, he said that these are patriotic, courageous people and that the Bush administration should not be prosecuting them. They should be supporting them. Brad Friedman of Bradblog, in for Ed Schultz. Much more straight ahead.